Sunday night's main event is brought to you by Vape Nation, your premier provider of electronic cigarettes and e-liquids in Southern Ontario. For locations, visit vapenationcanada.com.
Tonight's edition of Sunday night's main event is dedicated to the memory of Ashley Massaro.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday night's main event.
Look, I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but boy, is it exciting.
With Dan the Mo Flabransky.
Everyone has a price.
And Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
In clear violation of the law.
WWE presents Money in the Bank, but tonight's surprise was Money in the Bailey. And even more surprisingly, Money in the Brock? Hello, everyone, and welcome to a live edition of Sunday Night's Main Event right here on TSN Radio. We're coming at you with the help of Vape Nation, taking your vape shop experience to the next level. Visit vapenation.com, vapenationcanada.com for locations. My name is Jason Agnew. Happen to be joined tonight by my longtime tag team partner, Dan the Mouth of Ransky and Mouth. It was an unpredictable show, but was it good?
Well, you know, Jay, to stick with your routine there of the bees with Bank, Bailey, and Brock, I would say it wasn't bad and it certainly wasn't boring, but it was definitely a show with a lot of implications, and that is why we are here now. We're going to get down to it, analyze the whole show, give you what we thought, and then we're opening up the phone line so you can have your say on Money in the Bank.
And along with that, all of our regular features, Dave Meltzer with the Wrestling Observer Insider, Turnbuckle Trivia, and lots of your phone calls. So, hey, get dialing and get on the lines, 1-866-729-2562. That's right, 1-866-729-2562. It's at SNME Radio on Twitter, and join the Sunday Night's Main Event Facebook group. Just search SNME Radio. The Sunday Night Survey is up there right now, and you can vote on your favorite match from tonight's Money in the Bank pay-per-view. So go do that now. We're going to take a break and be right on back, giving you the recap and rundown of Money in the Bank right here on Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
Brock Lesnar is in the center of the ring with a freaking ladder.
Yeah, but Brock Lesnar is in the smash. This isn't happening. You can't do this. How the hell is Lesnar in the match? Lesnar on the top of the ladder. This is the damn scene. Brock Lesnar is on top of the ladder.
Brock is the eighth man. Brock is the eighth man of the match.
Brock Lesnar has won Money in
the
Bank.
Here's your winner, Brock Lesnar.
I was born to flex. Yes. Diamonds on my neck. I like boarding jets. I like morning sex. Woo. But nothing in this world that I like more than checks.
Money.
All I really want to see is the
money.
I don't really need to be any dumb.
Well, there you have it. Yes, indeed. Brock Lesnar is your winner tonight of Money in the Bank. Shockingly, because he wasn't in the match.
I'm scratching my head.
He's literally scratching his head. Welcome to it. It's Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio. My name is Jason Agnew. Of course, that other voice is Dan the Mouth of Ransky. Tonight, we're here. We watched the epic Money in the Bank show that had quite a few surprises on it. That mouth. I mean, we thought Bailey winning the Money in the Bank was a bit of a surprise, but Brock showing up and winning the Money in the Bank. Definitely out of the blue. I hadn't even got wind of reports that he was in the building or anything like that. And I wonder if this was one of those super secret ones.
He's hidden in a darkened limousine in the back, and he doesn't get released until they actually need him out there on the floor, on the arena. They must have, because it would have leaked, and it didn't. So they must have had him hidden away somewhere in the building.
All right, so let's get into it. Here's what we're going to do. It's one of our live shows. We are on TSN Radio tonight, so if you want to call in, you can do so and get on the line now so that we have you fresh right when we're done our recap. It's 1-866-729-2562. Jeremy's in front of us. We're broadcasting out of Hamilton tonight, and we are taking your phone calls. But first of all, going to give you our review as we just sat through this entire pay-per-view with the pre-show. And the pre-show, you know, Daniel Bryan, the B-plus player on the pre-show tonight to kick things off, Mouth.
Bizarre.
He and Rowan versus the Usos in what we did not realize.
That's right.
Was a non-title match.
I mean, I guess they must have said it ahead of Jay. But I guess you always just assume when you see the graphic and the belts are there and it's on the pre-show. The tag team titles are almost always defended on the pre-show. So I just thought for sure that it was. And then when the Usos won, I thought we had new champions. But then, no. In fact, we did not. They've won the non-title match. Now I'm guessing.
They get a title match on television?
Exactly.
Are we reverse booking here? Is that what's happening?
I'm guessing that is exactly what is happening, that the title match will be on SmackDown this week.
Money in the Bank started off tonight with the women's match, the actual pay-per-view show that kicked off at 7 o'clock. The women's Money in the Bank match, which we had talked about and previewed to the fact that the workers in this match, you didn't have your A players there.
No.
You didn't have your Charlottes and Beckys and Sashas for various different reasons, different matches or...
Or just go home with your ball.
Yeah, listen, that name was mentioned way too much tonight. So
she'll
we'll talk
back.
About
yeah,
that.
She'll be back.
But in this match, Naomi, or Naobe in this case, looking like a bumblebee
that
tonight.
That costume was brutal. And the bees, she came out with actually holding two letter Bs.
I don't know what this is. If someone knows, by all means, send me a tweet and let me know. At SNME Radio. Don't know what the relevancy was to this. Bailey, Ember Moon, Mandy Rose, Carmella, Natalia, Dana Brooke, and Nikki Cross, who is taking Alexa's place. Alexa was actually cleared to work this match, but due to the fact it was a dangerous match, WWE pulled back on her. Clearly, they had other ideas of where this match was going, and there's no need to risk Alexa's safety in this match.
Exactly, because that's the question I have coming out of it, whether this was all planned before they even decided to take Alexa out. If it was, then it was a good idea, because she really wouldn't have been a factor in the match anyways.
Early in this match, we had Carmella pushing away Mandy Rose, making it look like she was actually hurt as Mandy tried to hit her. And both, I mean, I jumped up and went, oh, what's happening there? Because it's always those things that I'm kind of interested in.
Go off.
So they had me. And then quickly, when they had four guys looking at her and were focusing on it, I'm like, oh, it's a work.
And then
she's coming back.
As soon as the announcers talked about it, you usually get an idea that it's part of the show there. That's for sure.
What were the highlights for you in this match?
Well, I just thought the ladies worked really, really hard. And they kept it very fast paced. Now, they did get time to practice it. They were taken off the house show run this week so they could practice. There was some pretty crazy spots. Natty and Mandy squashing Bailey in the ladder. The finish was interesting the way they did it, though, with Carmella eventually comes back. You see Mandy up at the top of the ladder. She's all there by herself. Carmella comes limping back, just like Hulk Hogan used to do back in the day. And Carmella tried to get it, but Sonya Deville came out and took her out. So, of course, Mandy's cohort there. There's no DQs in a match like that, so she's in there. Sonya grabbed Mandy and literally carried her up the ladder on her back so she could get the briefcase. And Mandy almost had it, but Bailey got up there and pushed her and Sonya off and grabbed the case and won. The crowd actually seemed into
it.
They seemed very happy that Bailey won.
The rebuilding of Bailey is what this could be.
It has to be, actually, Jay, because she really could use a fresh coat of paint and a building and a refocus. So I don't have a lot of trouble with it in that way. And it was a genuine surprise. I don't think anybody was picking Bailey to win this match at all. So I liked it. Now, I just want to know if they'll go full-blown heel with her.
Interesting.
Now, or will we keep the cute Bailey persona, even though she has the Money in the Bank? Because as we know, usually it's better for a heel to have that briefcase.
Yeah, you know what I want? Well, we have a heel on the other side, though, because
Lesnar's
got
it. Definitely.
So that's your heel. So this could be a babyface. You know what I wanted, though, at the top? Because Sonya couldn't defend herself because both of her hands were on Mandy, and Mandy was up there kind of lifeless. I wanted Bailey to headbutt her right in the nose. I'm talking like Samoa Joe Kurt Angle style, right in the nose, mouth, and knock her right off the ladder. I was sitting there, I'm like, oh, headbutt her! I would have just been so refreshing. Now listen, after this, Charlie comes into the ring, and we have Bailey cutting a promo. Charlie immediately mentions Sasha Banks, and then Bailey mentions Sasha Banks two more times. You don't do this if someone is not coming
back. That's right, exactly. Yeah, there's been a lot of that talk. Sasha upset with what they've been doing with her, but they've obviously worked something out because, they wouldn't talk about her if she wasn't coming back.
There's Sami Zayn interrupting Triple H on the phone after this because he's scared of Braun Strowman and wants protection. Triple H says Braun isn't there, so you can be sure he is. And he is in just a couple minutes. Now, next up, the U.S. Championship is happening, and that's Samoa Joe versus Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio...
Blink.
defeated Samoa Joe in about 2 minutes. So, it's the opposite of WrestleMania,
yeah, so
right?
At WrestleMania, Joe beats him in a minute, and now he beats Joe in 2 minutes. There's parody booking. If you don't understand what parody booking is, ladies and gentlemen, there was a prime example tonight. Joe came down, got into the leg kicks right away, was actually looking really good, and all of a sudden, Ray kind of did like a Hurricane Rana and rolled him over and pinned him, but it was clearly obvious that Joe's one shoulder was not on the ground. The announcers talked about it. Everybody talked about it. It was really obvious, so I think obviously something's going to play out of that. Dominic did come down to celebrate with Ray winning the match, but nothing happened. Joe did attack Ray as he was leaving with Dominic. He kind of just ran up right behind him and beat up. But they didn't do anything with Dominic.
No, they
didn't. Joe didn't go after Dominic. Dominic didn't go after Joe. So, but I think they're actually maybe doing a slow build on this one, and they're actually letting it go. But obviously, there's going to be more to it because it was obvious Joe's shoulder wasn't down.
Joe got busted up in this match pretty bad as well. Both the eyeball and
his nose
were bleeding.
Yeah.
This looked like a broken nose to me.
Ooh, for 2 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Jeez.
We then have a vignette. Braun Strowman is backstage. He's running around and throwing things. Then we go to a cage match. Yep, Shane McMahon versus The Miz. This really, I maintain, this seemed like an afterthought to me, Mouth, because Shane, to me, is in the Roman feud now, and this was just a blow-off.
Right.
There was a few weird things in this match, such as Miz getting a pinfall, but Shane puts his foot on the ropes and the ref stops counting. So pinfalls, I guess, are allowed in this match. It's not just escape the cage,
but that wasn't made clear, and the crowd even chanted BS after the referee.
They
even if the crowd doesn't know what's going on, then it's not clearly explained.
Yeah, there's just so many discrepancies in regards to cage matches and what the actual format and the finish can be. I mean, why is there a rope break on putting your foot on the ropes? Maybe that makes sense.
When somebody,
is there a DQ?
Yeah, but when somebody grabbed the rope, it was no good at all.
They don't have a clear.
But you know, as weird as all that stuff was, perhaps the ending was the weirdest thing
because
I have to say, I know you guys know I don't like Shane McMahon, and I'm always tooting about he has to have his big spot. He really didn't have his big spot in this match.
I was done with this feud already.
That doesn't matter. It's Shane McMahon. He wants to do a big spot in every match. I was really surprised he didn't do a big spot. But the ending was really, I'm going to say, stupid.
Yeah.
I thought it was stupid. Miz and Shane are fighting at the top of the cage, and Shane's hanging over the top with his legs on the outside of the top of the cage, and Miz is trying to suplex him back in. That's what they're trying to tease there. And then all of a sudden, Miz just kind of loses the grip on him, and Shane slides right down out of the shirt he's wearing straight to the ground. So that was it, basically. He slid out of his shirt and fell to the ground, so he hits the floor. He wins.
When's the last time you saw Shane McMahon shirtless?
Yeah, well,
he's always wrestling in a shirt.
Yeah, yeah. And I just think it's a lame finish, and it really makes Miz look like a bit of an idiot.
Total dink.
He looks
like a jabroni.
I haven't heard the word dink in years.
All right. We then go to...
That reminds me of like when I was 5 years old.
Well, exactly.
You'd say, kid's a dick.
That's who booked this. A 5-year-old, his shirt's going to come off. That'll be the finish.
What a dink.
There is a board that now, tomorrow night on Raw, we will be getting a new title
that is announced by
WWE Hall of Famer Mick Foley. Obviously, the first thing people started tweeting out and messaging out about was the fact that this could very well be a hardcore title because it's Mick.
Exactly. But the fact that
it shouldn't be.
Well, then, are we going to have something as lame as the internet title or the social media title or the Facebook title?
Stand-up comedy title. That's a storytelling title. WWE Creative definitely won't win that.
The fact that there's... I don't understand why... They need another title. Plus, you just created women's tag titles.
Yeah.
You've got two women's titles. You got two male titles. You got U.S. You got Intercontinental. You got Cruiserweight. Like...
We'll see what it is. We'll ask Dave about what it actually is. There is a vignette. Sammy is hung from a fence by his feet, and Triple H runs in to try to get him down. We then go to the Cruiserweight Championship. This didn't need to be on the show. Tony Nese and Daivari. Tony Nese is your champion. This was, you know what?
It
was
placeholder versus placeholder.
And it was a sloppy match, even for the Cruiserweights.
Yeah, a little bit. It's true. It was a little bit on the sloppy side. The audience really didn't care at all There was one part where Daivari tried to do a move, and he actually fell right over. And Tony Nese pinned him with a running knee. But yeah, totally uneventful. I'm guessing guessing it was the bathroom break match for a lot of people.
Triple H then confronts Braun backstage, says he won't be taking his spot despite what he did to Sami Zayn. Braun says he didn't do it. He didn't know who did it. Triple H asks him to leave, and he says, whatever, man. Like a five-year-old.
Yeah, exactly.
I believe he called him a dink when he left the building. And he walks away. There is a promo mouth for Super Showdown. That is the name for...
Speaking of dinks.
The pay-per-view that is coming up.
That's the next Saudi Arabian
That's
show,
right.
folks. So, and as you know, those guys have more money than they know what to do with, and Vince is more than willing to take it. So we're going to have, they want to call it Icon versus Icon. I want to call
Icon
it
Icon versus Phenom. That
I want,
is.
Oh, okay. Well, I want to call it Icon past Man past his prime. I mean, it's going to be Undertaker and Goldberg, which is a big match. They've never done it before. It's going to be a terrible match. It better not be more than 5 minutes.
They're promoting this as good. As or better than WrestleMania.
Yeah,
that is their slogan.
That has got to be one of the weirdest taglines I have ever heard in my life to promote an event or a product. Might be even better than our biggest show of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
crazy.
It won't be.
No.
But that's just a really weird approach. I don't know if they're trying to, justify the Saudi Arabian thing or what, but that was a very strange approach.
Michael Cole says Sami Zayn has been taken to a local medical facility. I maintain they should take him to a hospital. Anyhow, match number 5 is the Raw Women's title. Becky Lynch is your champion versus Lacey Evans. Becky starts this match as if Lacey was Arnold Schwarzenegger and hits her with a dropkick out of nowhere.
That was a great clip. I loved that. This match, it was basically one thing. It was short. It was only 8 minutes. And it was Lacey had the whole match. She dominated Becky for the whole match, and then she tried to go for a pin at one point, and Becky reversed it into an armbar, and Lacey tapped almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to get Lacey to look good, but ultimately they wanted Becky winning this match. So after 8 minutes, armbar, Lacey taps. There you go. Right after the match, right after it's finished, and Becky's somewhat celebrating, Charlotte comes right down and says, "Nope. We're doing this match right now. You just won that one. Now you're going to face me." So we go right into Charlie versus Becky.
And at this point, we have a revelation that takes place with the three of us watching this. We're in Hamilton tonight with our operator, Jeremy, and he says, "Here's what's going to happen. We're 20 minutes away from the Game of Thrones starting up, and it's the finale tonight." He's like, "This match is going to go 18 minutes, then we're going to have Bayley come in with the cash in." I did tweet this out, and basically, the timing was a
pretty
little
close.
Bit off.
Pretty
Jeremy,
close.
Booked,
yep.
The fantasy booker of the night.
Yeah, pretty close.
At SportsFanJer on Twitter. I've retweeted him out. He had it tonight, because that's pretty much what happened, Mouth.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, again, Charlotte and Becky get started. Again, very short match, only 6 minutes. I did get a kick out of Charlotte doing her dad's classic spot where she goes up to do something off the top rope and ends up getting slammed and tossed off. Lacey ends up coming back out. She corked Becky, and then Charlotte corked her and pinned her. So Lacey and Becky scrap afterwards. Then Charlotte and Lacey beat her down. And there was actually chants from the crowd at this point going, "We want Bayley. We want Bayley." So Bayley came down for the cash in, but got stopped by Charlotte and Lacey. And then Bayley threw Flair into the post, and Bayley decides to cash in. So Flair's hurting because her shoulder hitting the post. So Bayley did her Macho Man elbow off the top and pinned Charlotte, and the crowd went nuts.
They did.
Crowd was into it, man. They really liked seeing Bayley win the championship this way with the Money in the Bank. So the women's Money in the Bank done.
Yeah, it's gone already. It's just done. Like last year.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. It was all done in the one show. So there you have Bayley holding that championship now.
And the resurgence of Bayley. We'll see where they go
with
this.
Yeah, I'm very curious. Me too.
Then we have a vignette. By the way, you're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio. After we do our rundown here, we're going to be taking your phone calls. If you want to get in, a couple lines open, a couple people waiting. 1-866-729-2562. We are live tonight. And we go back into our recap here, and Roman Reigns is walking backstage. Elias creeps up and hits him with the guitar, lays him out. Elias then comes out, grabs an electric guitar, does his regular spiel. Corey is on top of things, making all the Bob Dylan references about Elias going electric.
That was funny.
That's
I did
good.
Like that.
Then Elias walks up the ramp, and he is met with a Superman punch by Roman, tosses him back into the ring. Spear, pin, done. Both this match and the Miz match felt like they were already done. These feuds are over.
Right.
We have now moved on. This one makes sense. The Miz and Shane match doesn't make sense because it doesn't have the proper conclusion with Miz getting his revenge.
Exactly. Miz should have won.
He looks like a dink.
Yeah.
However, in this match, we had the proper finish. And there's really not much to say about it. So let's just move into the next one. And that is the Universal Championship. And boy, did they give these guys some time. It's AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins. Seth is your champion. It's a long match, a good match.
Loved it.
Just great. That one transition, Mouth. The one transition was absolutely incredible here.
Which one?
That one that ended up in the Styles Clash.
Oh, yeah. No, this was really great, man. There was some great stuff where AJT's doing the Styles Clash off the apron to the floor, but didn't pull it off. Crowd was really into this. They were really loving it. Both guys worked really hard. Both guys gelled really well together. Seth ended up getting a super kick and then a curb stomp and then the pin to win. It was the best match of the night so far, that's for sure. Good match. Crowd was engaged. I liked it a lot. AJ had left, and Seth was in the ring by himself, and then he came back. They had a stare down, and AJ held out his hand, and Rollins, in my opinion, took too long to shake it for being a babyface. He kind of held it there for a while, but eventually he shook hands with AJ Styles, and that ended it off there.
We thought we just had the WWE title match followed by Money in the Bank left, but at this part, Lucha House Party came out, and then Lars Sullivan came out to destroy them. He gets busted open hard way, though, at some
Kalisto gave him a headbutt.
Is that what it was?
Yes, Kalisto gave him a headbutt. That's what it was. Gave him a headbutt that worked, basically. And I don't know if Lars had already been cut.
Yeah.
The fact that he got busted open so easily makes me believe he was maybe cut already or injured already. But, even though he won and destroyed them in seconds, he had this amazing blood just running down his face, which made him look even nastier than normal.
Well, he's pretty nasty from what we can tell.
He is.
All righty, we continue on. WWE title is next. It's Kevin Owens versus Kofi Kingston. Kofi, of course, is your champion. Kofi retains, for some reason, though, he retains the belt, but not his shoes.
I thought that was going to lead to some really cool spot or something.
I don't understand.
What Jay is talking about is at one point in the match, all of a sudden, when Owens had the upper hand.
Right at the end.
Yeah, it was near the end. He just ripped off Kofi's boots. He just took them off. There was no reason. I think it was right after he'd given him a power bomb or something. And then after that, Owens went up to the top. He tried to do a senton off the top, but Kofi got the knees up. So I guess maybe pulling his boots off, work him up or something. But he got the knees up, and then Kofi got him with the Trouble in Paradise. So Kofi retains the SmackDown title. I thought it was a good match for what it was, you know?
Crowd was less into this than the Universal Championship.
You know,
I think they were tired.
Exactly. I think because that match was so good, and it was more one to get caught up in. The guys did a good job. Yeah, I agree. I think this one maybe was in a rough spot.
I think they were waiting for the Men's Money in the Bank match, which, you know, it's the Money in the Bank pay-per-view.
It is.
And this is a big match, and it's a big event, and it does set someone up to be a star, or at least potential to be a star, if used properly, or you just go backwards and find an old star. But anyway, that was not normally the intention with this.
No!
It's your Men's Money in the Bank match. Finn Balor, Andrade, Ali, Randy Orton, Baron Corbin, Ricochet, Drew McIntyre, no Sami Zayn. He is at the medical facility.
Yeah. No Braun
Strowman has been kicked out of the building. I was pretty sure Braun was coming back. I was wrong. Listen, when you have guys like Andrade, Balor, Ricochet, and Ali in a match, you're going to get some crazy spots.
Oh, but Finn Balor. Finn Balor was the MVP,
ladies and
gentlemen. This guy was just nuts. Ali gave him a sunset powerbomb off the top of the ladder into another ladder. He took a bump where he landed right strong on the side of a ladder. He got suplexed on a ladder by Drew. Like, Balor was crazy. I hope he can walk. He's going to be hurting in the morning, that is for sure. He deserves a special citation for this match. This was basically what happened at the end. This is Ali was the one that was up there trying to grab the briefcase. And then all of a sudden, we hear Brock's music. He comes running down the ramp. I think that's the fastest I've seen him run in years. And he went up there and knocked him off the ladder, actually. He pushed the ladder.
ladder and knocked him out. He also hit a couple of cameramen with a ladder.
He did.
When he was coming out, he threw one of the ladders on the runway out of the way, and you could see it went right into a couple of cameramen.
I mean, it wasn't car door reckless,
no,
but it was pretty reckless.
It was reckless, yeah, it was reckless. So he knocked Ali up off the ladder, went up and grabbed the belt, and yeah, he's got the briefcase, big grin on his face. So yeah, like Jay said, it's really used to set up someone new, but it was a surprise. And again, crowd reacted. Crowd liked it. Crowd seemed to be enticed by this quick change of developments, perhaps maybe because it was just a drastic surprise. But they seem to be happy that Brock now has the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Well, that's the thing, Moth. I mean, when you see so much television, there's so much content available, it does, one thing does roll into the next, and
yeah,
it becomes very redundant and repetitive. And when you do get something new and different and something you're not expecting, there's an automatic reaction.
Yep.
I don't know if it's a good thing that WWE is just booking towards those automatic reactions. Like, it's not Vince Russo territory yet, because these things can make sense. And listen, the rebuilding of Bayley is a great idea.
I agree.
Tease, if Sasha is in place and waiting and those teases were put in place, that's also great.
Yep.
And then along with that, we'll see what happens with Brock Lesnar. I'm going to guess, now we're going to go to calls after this, and I'm going to guess a lot of people do not like this Brock Lesnar thing.
A lot of people didn't like the fact that he wasn't around all the time,
that's
right?
It. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That whole thing that made him special at one point, I don't think it does.
It worked against him after a while, yeah.
I agree. All right, we're going to see what you guys think, though. Going to take a break and come on back, take your phone calls. 1-866-729-2562 is the number to call. And it is Sunday night's main event. It's a live edition right here, right now, on TSN Radio. Go on, take the money and
run. Vape Nation Canada, your premier provider of electronic cigarettes and e-liquids in Southern Ontario. In downtown Burlington, corner of Elizabeth Street and Pine. In Stony Creek, at the corner of Paramount and Mud. In Brantford, at 320 Colborne Street West in the Sobeys Plaza. In Oakville, at Lakeshore Road West and Bronte Road. Open Monday to Saturday, 11 till 9, Sunday, 11 till 6. Better prices, selection, service, and atmosphere. Raise your expectations. You can have it all. Vape Nation, taking the vape shop experience to the next level. VapeNationCanada.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bayley is cashing in her Money in the Bank contract.
I can't believe it's happening, but it's official.
It's the bell. This match is underway for the SmackDown.
Charlotte hasn't moved. Charlotte has not moved.
Come on, Bayley.
Bayley's going up. Bayley going up to the top turnbuckle. Can Bayley do it tonight?
Cashes that Money in the Bank in style, and along with that, the resurgence of her character. Perhaps, Mouth, we'll see what they do here.
Yes.
A lot of Sasha Banks mentions tonight on the show, in the speech as well, after the cash-in. But a surprise, and I mean, you heard the crowd in that
clip there. They were on the count. They cheered. They were very happy to see this happen. So, again, we'll have to see where they go with it. I mean, maybe you can just leave her as lovable Bayley. Maybe you make her a little bit more hard-edged. I'm curious.
I think that at this point they have to do something new. She can't just be the NXT character.
There has to
be an evolution. One of the things that WWE falls into on their main roster is they don't understand how to evolve a character in order to keep them successful. Mm. They rely on what the character was built on. Bray Wyatt is a great example of their trying to evolve. I question what they're doing here, because to me, putting on a mask doesn't necessarily evolve a character.
No.
You know what does? Everything Chris Jericho has done since the beginning of his career, where he's continually evolved himself over and over and over and over again.
Yes.
And he's a different person. He speaks differently at different times. I mean, just think about when he was doing the sophisticated Nick Bockwinkel character to when he was doing the list, to when he's doing this Clockwork Orange thing that he's doing now.
Yeah, Look at the way he's portraying himself in Japan right now. You know, almost like crazy homicidal, you know? Yeah, so he is great, and he's had those nice little gaps in his career where he's been able to kind of disappear and come back and do that. But it's harder when somebody, you see that person every night, every night, every night, to keep things fresh. So, yeah, I would think rougher up a little bit, you know, make it a little bit rougher on the edges, I think would help. But definitely, I think the fans are into it so far. So we'll see what happens.
I think they're going to botch it. Okay, let's continue
on. Their track record is not great. So yeah,
let's go over here and let's go to line one. It is Eddie, and he's calling in from. Oh, I think you, Eddie, are you there?
All right. So let me just talk about Money in the Bank. I got to say, as a fan, very unhappy with pretty much 2/3 of the results, only because it screams of crunch time booking, where there's this pressure to succeed right away. Let's move to the next story. And I just don't feel satisfied from the previous story ending. And what do you do with that? How do you evolve feuds? How do you evolve rivalries when, all right, let's move on to the next? And with Lesnar winning, it just leaves me just thinking, all right, is this for Saudi Arabia? Is this for maybe the Fox deal? Like, where's the excitement for that?
I think it's the fact he didn't go back to UFC, to put it bluntly. I mean, I think he's obviously worked out a deal with McMahon. I think he's realized that he doesn't want to do fighting anymore. And McMahon will you know, is willing to use him. So I think that they just probably wanted to initiate him to the product again. But I agree with your point, because now, what is it? It's Brock Lesnar versus Seth Rollins.
That's a very good point.
We just saw that at WrestleMania. So, I mean, exactly. You're right. It's not really like the storyline's revolving. It's like it's going backwards.
Thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to continue on. Lots of people on the line. So let's go to someone who I also believe has a little bit of fury in him this week. And we're going to go to Greg, who's on line three. Hi, Greg.
Yo.
So what'd you think?
Wow. You have some beverages there?
Well, Greg, give me more. Give me more. Here, okay. What do you got going on? Why are you furious?
There's an old saying here. Let's pour one out for the Money in the Bank pay-per-view as how it is reincarnated and formulated, because this pay-per-view just died on the vine. Brock Lesnar, I agree with everything he said. We saw this in MetLife Stadium. We are regressing. We're not going forward. This, I just went on social media on Twitter, and I just put the hashtag, the pay-per-view hashtag in there. The WWE is getting slammed, and I saw two people that have canceled their WWE network memberships on this. One of them has been there since day one-ish. And this, and I said this in the midweek with your midweek talk with you, which is online on your
on the Patreon. You are a special guest this week. Yep.
And this is one of the reasons why I say that creative needs to, in the words of Charlotte Flair in her chronicle, do better. They did not do better. This is going to be a major, major sell job that they would have to basically gamble on. Good thing that Shaw has the AWE Double or Nothing pay-per-view, and I do not know how much it will cost. I am waiting with every bated breath in terms of their pay-per-view numbers on that show.
Well, they're not going to be huge out of the gate. This is the first show. They still have to establish themselves. I mean, even though they have amazing momentum behind them at the moment, we can't expect a miracle right out of the gate here, Greg. I mean, the numbers will probably be good, but they're not going to be anything to match WWE, but they certainly are an alternative, and I do encourage people like yourself that are upset with the WWE project to check it out this coming weekend.
Greg, who did you want to see win Money in the Bank tonight?
Who did I say? Randy Orton on the podcast?
Okay, hold on.
Greg.
I don't remember if you did say Randy Orton, because we did tape a while ago, but Randy Orton is definitely a regression.
That's not new,
Greg.
Okay, so what was your if Randy Orton was not, you have two babyface championship holders in Kofi and Seth.
Right. Yeah. So therefore
you need a heel wrestler.
Sure.
I said,
yeah.
Okay, if it was not Randy Orton, I could say you could probably put it on Andrade.
Sure.
Yes, that, you know what? That's much better.
That was my pick, actually, Greg, when Jay and I did the picks last week, if you remember. That's who I picked. I picked Andrade. So I would love to have seen him.
Andrade.
Yeah, sorry.
Don't pick Mark Andrade. Mark Andrade should not be.
I don't want him in any matches, though.
But, I mean, listen, if you put a bottle of Jameson above that ring, he's getting there first. Let me tell you.
I don't know. I don't think he could take too many bumps, really.
No. That wouldn't be good. However, I think a lot of people were thinking Andrade tonight. I think the majority thought Drew McIntyre.
Yeah. Yes.
This does look like regression. There is some desperation here. And going back to Lesnar, it's going back to the same person. Is this like going back to Hogan?
I don't know. So I mean, this it's sort of it. Just the thing that bothers me is Rollins got the title. We just saw Rollins. We just saw. Is Brock going to go after Kofi? Are they going to mix it up and have him pick Kofi?
SmackDown is on Fox.
I mean, he could just get a wild card, Jay.
He could just get a...
Because those wild cards, they're flying around like crazy.
But only to the same
people, over and over. There's only four people in the group that are allowed to use them, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, have you guys noticed that? The wild cards.
It's ridiculous. Every week, it's the same guys that
have
the wild card.
It's only been 2 weeks. But I got a feeling that it's going to be the same people going back and forth.
Exactly. It's
going
to be Roman and every week and AJ and the same thing, blah, blah, blah.
Let's do one more here before we go to break, and that is going to be a gentleman we actually haven't heard from a while, and that is Hanzi's on the line.
Hanzi!
On line two. Hi, Hanzi.
Yo, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Hanzi.
Yeah, how are you guys? I didn't hate the pay-per-view. I thought they delivered on... the Bailey moment, which I thought was really, really good. I like the Money in the Bank ladder matches. I like the title matches, but I'm actually with you guys on. I mean, if the Brock Lesnar thing, it kind of ruined it for me. You know what I mean? Like, it actually rivaled what Game of Thrones ending was, which was horrible.
Okay.
I didn't think that could happen, really. Right?
So, do you think we're gonna get a petition with a whole bunch of people writing it and wanting WWE to rewrite Money in the Bank?
Yeah, exactly. Rewrite the last year or so.
The year? Are you kidding me?
Oh,
way
man,
more than a year.
That's a lot of work.
That's what shows like this were founded upon, though, Hanzi.
Yeah, it's true.
But you guys, this was the question I was going to ask, but you guys kind of mentioned it. Like, do you guys, like, since we've seen Brock versus Seth already, do you guys think, because the rules have never meant any less anymore in the company right now with all the roster switches and all that, right?
Yes.
Do you think they're just going to have Brock be able to cash it in on any champion and they actually, like, make him and Kofi happen? Because in the beginning of the year, Kofi did take a jab at Brock Lesnar about him never being there. So I could actually, like, I know it's like long-term booking, but I could see, like them doing something with that at SummerSlam or something like that.
Listen, yeah. I would be all for seeing Brock and Kofi as opposed to seeing Brock and Seth again. I have no interest in seeing Brock and Seth. I have zero interest in seeing Brock and Roman. You know what?
No.
I mean, that's the thing. If you're going to have... Brock does like working with... I would assume he would like to work with Kofi.
Because Kofi make him look great.
Well, he likes to like working with Balor. He likes working with AJ. I think that he would like working with Kofi.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go. Even though... Michael Cole, one of the last things he said on the broadcast, hinted at a Rollins program, but I don't want to see it either. We just saw it. It's done. It's finished. Whereas at least Kofi, it's a fresh matchup. And I agree with you, Jay. I think Kofi and Brock actually would work good together. And I think they would try to make entertaining matches. So, I mean, there is that, but ultimately, it's still an issue because Brock is an old hat performer, and we need some of these newer guys to start getting up in the mix, and going back to Brock is not an answer.
Hey, Hanzi, what'd you think about Bailey?
Listen, everyone on Twitter has been saying, yo, let's turn her heel. And I don't think you need to turn every single person heel. I just think you need to evolve her character.
Yeah.
To be such a, like, WWE has to stop booking their baby faces as cornballs. And I actually thought, like, this is the first time in a while where she felt really fresh. Like, it felt like the last couple of years didn't exist, and she just came up from NXT right now, being red hot, and now she's a champion again. I hope, like, they actually carry this feud for a while. I think if they like don't make her regress a little bit, then I think she'll be fine. But I like the Bayley moment. I thought it was really, really dope.
I don't think you need a complete change either, but I would like to see her get a little rougher around the edges. I think a little bit of a harsh edge to her. I don't think she has to be full-out, you know, card-carrying evil, but a little roughness on the edges would be good.
And we'll see where they go with that. It seems like people seem to be in favor of one with Bayley and definitely not with Brock. Maybe the two B's that Naomi had tonight were for Bayley and Brock.
Right. That's right. We try our best to link it all together for you, ladies and gentlemen. What you can't figure out, we will figure it out.
We have the thread, and we are doing sewing tonight.
It is intricate.
We are going to take a break, and we're going to come on back. More of your phone calls, if you like. We're going to be doing it in this hour before we get to Meltzer at the top of the hour. It's 1-866-729-2562. Two lines are open right now. 1-866-729-2562. Fill them up, and we'll come back taking your calls on WWE's Money in the Bank, or anything that's happened this week in a very busy week of pro wrestling. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. You're doing it on TSN Radio.
And I don't understand why I sleep all day. And I start to complain that there's no arcade.
Vape Nation Canada, your premier provider of electronic cigarettes and e-liquids in southern Ontario. In downtown Burlington, corner of Elizabeth Street and Pine. In Stony Creek, at the corner of Paramount and Mudd. In Brantford, at 320 Colborne Street West in the Sobeys Plaza. In Oakville, at Lakeshore Road West and Bronte Road. Open Monday to Saturday, 11 till 9, Sunday, 11 till 6. Better prices, selection, service, and atmosphere. Raise your expectations. You can have it all. Vape Nation, taking the vape shop experience to the next level. VapeNationCanada.com.
Kofi averted disaster for the moment, but Owen's still the first man to his feet.
Kofi! Oh, oh, paradise! Right on the button! Kofi! Cover! Kofi! Put to my arms!
Kofi Kingston putting away Kevin Owens tonight, but now where does Kofi go, I think, is one of the questions that we can also look at. I mean, Kevin Owens was thrown into this match when it was originally supposed to be Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
And Daniel Bryan was relegated to the pre-show on the show tonight, but there was a rematch with Bryan and Kofi on Raw, which to me was a bit of a waste. And actually, you know what? I was speaking with one of the gentlemen who's doing Turnbuckle Trivia this afternoon, because we taped it earlier today. And I was asking the guys, hey, are you looking forward to Money in the Bank? And he said to me, I'm not ready for it. And I thought that was a good point, because Money in the Bank is not normally this month.
No, there's usually what we would call just a throwaway pay-per-view. Usually something like Backlash is after WrestleMania. So they kind of start things off, and then you'd have Money in the Bank down the line. So it is surprising that they went to it right after WrestleMania.
You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event right here on TSN Radio. We are live tonight in studio. It is our post Money in the Bank show. Here's a tweet that I wanted to showcase here, and it's by I Am Jericho. Good
right.
old Chris Jericho
nice.
Here tweeting out, awesome to see at Brock Lesnar win the Money in the Bank match, even though he wasn't officially entered. Brock is the future of the biz and the perfect example of genius booking shows why WWE will remain on top forever. And forever is in caps.
Excuse me.
And he has hashtag go, Brock, go.
Oh, that is, he's right. He's absolutely right.
I mean, I love the fact that this is going to be a war. And they're taking pokes at them, and let's go for it, AEW. You got your TV deal,
well,
and let's
it,
rock and roll. That,
if anyone's had a chance, these guys have got a chance, and the best thing is they're not afraid. They're not going to back down. They've got sufficient backing. They've got a major television deal, and they've got the ammunition to go after someone like Vince. Now, they're not instantly going to be competitive, but it is still going to be fascinating to watch what they do, because they have a strong vision of what they don't want to be. And that's mostly what the
WWE.
Exactly. No, that's true, though, Jay. That's exactly how they feel. And I think they're going to stick to that. So we're going to really have a contrasting project. And if you can't tell already, I'm very excited.
Well, you are. And I mean, that's one of the reasons why, you know, yourself and Joe Aguinaldo each week are doing the podcast, the All Elite Weekly Podcast. That's what we're going to call it. We're on terrestrial radio, okay?
Yes, okay.
And one of the reasons why we spotlighted that in all of the things that we cover, simply because there is hype around around it. People who listen to this show in particular see so much WWE and do want that alternative. And this is also, you know, an American alternative. And I think it will blend some of the other styles out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
but
yes. Yes.
They do know the fans that they're targeting, the ones that are fed up with watching WWE and seeing the same thing over and over again. There is, you know, the lapsed fan that is out there, and they've got to try to find them and get them back.
Yeah, and the great thing is they already have a fairly solid base of hardcore supporters that like what they do, and now with a high-end television platform, and of course their amazing use of social media, WWE always brags they have the biggest numbers. Well, I'm sorry, but AEW, their use of social media is fantastic, the way they keep things moving along. Storylines, they did more in a five-minute segment than WWE did in a whole three-hour Raw to get me excited for the pay-per-view next weekend.
Yeah, with the Cody and Goldust thing.
Yeah.
And Dustin.
Yeah. I thought it was amazing, right? So.
Alrighty. You rest your voice. We're going to go to, turn mouth, he's got a cough. So let's go to, he's so loud he doesn't even need his own mic on. He can hear you through mine. Alrighty, let's go back to the phones here, and let's go to Eric, who is on the line. Hi there, Eric.
Hey, what's up, Jason?
We are chatting Money in the Bank. What'd you think tonight? You were tweeting at me, and you were unhappy.
I was trying to call you guys, but, like, the line was, like, dead. And I was like, what's going on?
Well, you found us.
Either non-existent number or, my God, everyone's mad tonight.
Yes.
Everybody's got their 2 cents.
Okay. Before I get serious, I do just want to get deep and say that Ashley Massaro, arguably one of the most talented people we know and love, bright smile and cheerful looks and all that, just... that literally hit close to me. I could not believe that she passed. And especially the reports are saying it's an apparent suicide.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I'm not surprised, sadly, but that's still sad. But all right.
We're going to talk more about Ashley Massaro in the next segment with Dave Meltzer. We'll get into some of the details that have surfaced there.
Yeah. All right. Now to rip on Money in the Bank.
Okay.
I actually thought it wasn't a bad show, but it also wasn't a good show. And then the main event happened, and then you hear Brock's music hits. Like, are you kidding me, guys? And apparently, I heard just from one source on Twitter, that apparently there was a loud AEW chant on the concourse after the pay-per-view.
Good, good.
Like, well, I'm not surprised. I mean, I was at Raw after Mania when we were all chanting AEW for that stupid impromptu tag. But why do they need Brock? We don't need him anymore. And this is literally why AEW is going to be laughing themselves to the bank. Because, WWE thinks, like, AEW is going to be the direct competition. Not really. It's just going to be an alternative. It's like you're trying to compare NASCAR and IndyCar. Who's more popular? It's like they're two different leagues. And
I disagree with you. I disagree with you completely. I think that they are direct competition, 100%. They're in the same TV market. They're based in North America, and they're going to try to steal fans. And this is the best thing for both promotions is to have direct competition.
And I will say that to the point of competition, Stephanie McMahon just had a meeting with Creative. Right? And
she
mentioned AEW specifically as competition.
Yeah.
They have never done that before. They have never mentioned another wrestling promotion by name. They always say it's this and social media and this and Game of Thrones and whatever. This is the first time they never said that with TNA. They've never said it with Ring of Honor or New Japan. She said the letters AEW. That shows that even they know they are competition.
There's no secrets here. Thank you very much for the phone call, Eric. Going to do one more before we get to Dave, and that is going to be Ray, who's on the line from North York. Hi, Ray.
Yeah, hi, boys. How are you?
Good.
Okay, well, I was disappointed by the show. But first off, you didn't mention Nice. He had that match there, too.
We mentioned that match, but briefly, because it wasn't much of a match. Yeah.
No, you're right, exactly. But I was disappointed with the Reigns Elias. I mean, all that hype, and that's all we get. I mean, come on, at least give us a good match anyway.
But the thing is, Elias can't give you a good match.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, he's good though in the ring. He's
I don't know.
I mean, listen. Okay, hold on. Do you if you like Elias in the ring? So I mean, I don't. I think the crowd. I think WWE, looking at the packages that they're rolling in each and every week in regards to Roman Reigns, they are reminding people over and over and over again each week that he has beaten cancer.
Yes,
and they are not letting that go because there is a definite fear that the fans are going to revert,
yep.
and they will revert
yep.
back. I mean, do you not think, Eric, that there is? Sorry, do you not think, Ray, that there's a big chance of fans once again reverting and booing Roman Reigns?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, it's an ongoing thing. I think people like to hate him, right?
but when you're trying to push him as you know, your main guy on top of the company, and there's a refusal to make him a heel, which he may actually excel in if they did do that, though now it's a weird world with him coming back
with
the cancer
thing. Yeah, it would be harder now.
Yeah. Can I ask you guys one more question?
Yep.
Did you get the impression, I don't know, maybe I wasn't watching the same thing maybe everybody else was, but did you get a little thought there that maybe Xavier Woods was going to turn on Kingston there?
You know what? I was waiting for it.
I thought he was going to interfere with Owens.
It was at the end.
Yeah, yeah, it's exactly. When they did, after yeah. they did the promo together and Kofi yeah. left.
No, I thought it was at the end of the match when the celebration was happening. I'm like, this is strange. Is there going to, you know, I think that is going to happen eventually, whether it's Big E or whether it's Xavier. Like, there's going to be some sort of implosion.
Yeah.
With,
yeah.
It only makes sense. You have one member of the threesome of a team, you know, this trio that is now getting all of the attention. And it does make sense. It's a logical storyline to
yeah,
do.
Yeah, totally.
But they can string it out for a while.
Long
it doesn't necessarily
time.
Need
no.
to happen right
no.
away. Thank you very much for the call. All right, thank you very much for all of your phone calls. We're going to be doing more in the second hour. If you haven't called in yet, hold on. We've got a whole nother hour ahead of us. But when we come back, lots of news items to talk about this week, including AEW and Ashi Massaro and all of that. We will get to that with Dave Meltzer when we have him on next. You're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event. You're doing so on TSN Radio. Back with a whole second hour in Meltzer next.
Vape Nation Canada, your premier provider of electronic cigarettes and e-liquids in Southern Ontario. In downtown Burlington, corner of Elizabeth Street and Pine. In Stony Creek, at the corner of Paramount and Mud. In Brantford, at 320 Colborne Street West in the Sobeys Plaza. In Oakville, at Lakeshore Road West and Bronte Road. Open Monday to Saturday, 11 till 9, Sunday, 11 till 6. Better prices, selection, service, and atmosphere. Raise your expectations. You can have it all. Vape Nation, taking the vape shop experience to the next level. VapeNationCanada.com.